Audio version of Michael Leitman's blog. May 20th, 2020. On the threshold of renewal of humanity. Question: studies have proven that up to 60% of the human genome is modified by viruses. That is, the coronavirus is, in fact, the carrier of structures that are very close to the proteins of our cells. There is a hypothesis that nature, with the help of the coronavirus, is performing a global reconstruction of humanity. If so, what should we, as humanity, become? Answer: I do not know. It is of no interest to me. According to what the science of Kabbalah says, we are in the last generation, that is, we are approaching the state wherein we will have to rise above egoism and begin to explore higher properties, levels, layers of nature, where we are outside the body. There is no inanimate, vegetative, or animate matter there, there is nothing but our consciousness. And all the previous layers of matter will disappear from our feelings and cease to exist. We will come to a world where there is only consciousness. Question: is this the reconstruction of humanity? Will humans be different? Answer: yes, a new humanity. Such a state is called the last generation. This is what we are going through now. It will continue for some time until the blows of nature and our correct interaction with it will raise us to a level where we will exist only in our consciousness. Question: does it mean that there will be no bodies but only the totality of all our desires and thoughts? Answer: yes. There will be no sensation of corporeal bodies, qualities, and forces. There will be only consciousness. It will be common for all and everyone will have their own. As it is written in the Torah that the Spirit of God was hovering, but there is no matter yet. Remark: it is interesting. It is similar to viruses. I read that they also live in colonies, they have common consciousness, and they understand each other. Can we become a modified virus? My comment: we can become the individual souls that interact with each other in this way, forming one common perfect system called Adam. From Cab TV's Coronavirus is Changing Reality, March 26, 2020. Michael Leitman, on Quora: why do people see the human ego as bad? The human ego is seen as bad when it is overblown, causing people to exploit, manipulate and abuse each other in the name of pleasure. Due to the ego causing so much division and conflict in and between societies, many people try to lessen the ego's impact, trying to restrain it using a variety of techniques. I have been studying and teaching the wisdom of Kabbalah for over 40 years, which fundamentally differs to many other approaches to the ego. It does not deal with restraining the ego. Instead, using Kabbalah, we reach an acknowledgement of the ego's purpose, and learn how to navigate the ego in a way that makes it beneficial to society. The human ego differentiates us from animals. It is an additional desire to enjoy ourselves beyond our survival necessities. While on the surface it might seem as if certain animals are bad because they live their lives killing other animals, it is far from the case. Animals follow an inner programming that leads them to fulfill their survival needs, and if they kill other animals, it is due to their programming to feed themselves and their offspring, which emerges naturally. Humans, on the other hand, can kill out of hatred for others, enjoying from others' pain, and of their own growth in status above those that the human kills. Such hatred and enjoyment in the pain of others is a quality unique to humans, non-existent in animals, and which extends from the human ego. The ego thus separates humans from animals. On the other hand, the ego is a driver of human progress. Our pursuits in science, technology, arts, music, culture and many others, are primarily fueled by the ego that wants more than the other. It has placed us at the top of nature's four-layered pyramid comprising the inanimate, vegetative, animate and human. The question then becomes: when is the ego detrimental and when is it beneficial? The ego becomes problematic when we use it to self-benefit at the expense of others. When we adjust the intention upon the ego, directing it to benefit others over its drives to self-benefit, then the ego becomes beneficial to other people, as well as to all other levels of nature. The adjustment of our intention upon our ego from self-benefit to benefiting others is possible the more we acknowledge the tightness of our interdependence. The more we feel dependent on each other, then the more we will realize that we need to aim our egos at the common good. On one hand, blows such as the coronavirus pandemic increase our understanding and feeling of our interdependence. On the other hand, we need not wait for such blows to wake us up to our interdependence, but can instead learn about how we can realize our interdependence in a positive way, and by doing so, alleviate many blows that we otherwise feel. In the wisdom of Kabbalah, the way of accumulating suffering and blows to wake us up to our interdependence is called the path of pain, and the way of actively waking ourselves up to our interdependence and how to adjust our egos to it is called the path of light. The latter path is one which the wisdom of Kabbalah offers a method to access. Seeds of Exile, Part 4. Where do all the troubles come from? Remark: in the newspaper The Nation, which Balhaas Sulam published in 1940, he wrote, "Jerusalem was ruined only because of unfounded hatred that existed in that generation. At that time, the nation was plagued and died, and its organs were scattered to every direction." Also Naftali Berlin wrote an introduction to the Book of Bereshit, "The generation of the times of the destruction of the Second Temple was stubborn and depraved. Therefore, because of unfounded hatred of each other in their hearts, they believed that every person acting contrary to their opinion should be killed. And all the troubles ensued from this, until the temple finally fell. But on the other hand, the Jews kept the outer commandments." My comment: no. This, in our time, is considered keeping commandments. At that time, keeping commandments was considered to fulfill the basic principle of loving your neighbor. Everything else is just etiquette, customs that have nothing to do with the internal state of the people. Therefore, the destruction of the Second Temple occurred only because of unfounded hatred, although the people observed absolutely all the laws. Rabbi Akiva was calling only to one thing: love your neighbor as yourself. Nothing else is needed. Still, the temple collapsed precisely because people said, "But we follow all the customs." However, the most important thing was missing: closeness of hearts. Remark: but we can say that they could not observe the principle of love your neighbor, as nature led them this way. My comment: on one hand, this is a natural process, and on the other hand, we are obliged to do this. Indeed, even now we do not know what nature is preparing for us. From CapTV's Systematic Analysis of the Development of the People of Israel, July 8, 2019. The General Vessel of Humanity. Question: does all of humanity have to connect as one single vessel? Answer: of course. Each of us carries inside of oneself a particle of the immense shattered vessel. This is the reason that we must gather all the particles and reach a state of absolute adhesion, of actual love. The first to do this are those in whom the point in the heart has awoken. If the point in the heart has awoken in you, you can already begin the process of getting closer to others in whom the point in the heart has also awoken. You will see how you will begin to reveal the general vessel in the connection between you. To the extent that you reveal the general vessel, you will begin to reveal its filling that comes from the upper light, the consciousness, and the feeling of eternity or of immortality, of the entrance to a totally new dimension. It is in your power to do so. You can do it now, in our world. Just do not stop. All the people in the world who engage in this, each in his own unique way, help each other because we are all particles of the one shattered vessel. From CabTV's Fundamentals of Kabbalah, February 2, 2020. success depends on the woman. Connection between women can have a very strong impact on governments, countries, and the whole world. Indeed, during this time of the coronavirus epidemic, everything depends on our intentions and not on actions. When men go to war and women remain at home, we think that the men were the force that ensured victory in the war. But actually this is not true. It is the women with their intentions that determine the success of the war. From Mulkhut, that is, from a woman, from the depth of her desire, is what determines the kind of screen and reflected light that will be on him. Therefore, all success regarding how quickly we can end the epidemic of the coronavirus, come to a connection between us, and reach the end of the correction of the world depends on women's intentions and the dissemination of information by women. After all, this epidemic is a consequence of the fact that we are in the last stage of the development of mankind, which is called the last generation. So let us end the selfish development and form a life, and move on to a higher level of existence, which is called life in the higher world. From a women's lesson, April 4, 2020. Questions and answers. New Life 1224, A New World Order.
Shalom lachem, toda shetem itof.
Hello everyone, thank you for joining us. We are here with A New Life, a series of conversations with Rav Dr. Michael Lightman. Hello Dr. Lightman. Hello everyone. Hello, the number of our program today is 1224, and we will be talking with Rav Lightman about what we are seeing today in the world. We're in the days of the corona. I came here with many questions. Please join us. I hope it will be fascinating. Rav Lightman, look, at this time of the corona, we're beginning to look ahead and look at the world that will come following the corona. People are talking about it nowadays, that we're going towards a great global transformation. Everything we were familiar with is going to change in each and every an aspect in life, from the international level, international relations, economy, occupation, technology, man's attitude to his free time, man's attitude to nature in which we live, everything. My first question to you is whether you also think that the world is before a new world order. And I'd like to answer, add before you add, that this expression, a new world order, is something that we had in the previous century, mostly after the two world wars, that changed the world from end to end. So the way you see things as a Kabbalist today, in the time of the corona, are we before a new world order? Or will it just pass and the world will come back to be the way it was before, maybe with some more cosmetic changes? What do you think? But my view, and I hope I'm right, is that we are truly before a great change in the entire world. What does it mean in the whole world? It's in the relations between people. There is nothing else that needs to change. You're not going to change stones or trees or animals or these great masses moving in space. What you can change, what you should change, is only the relations between people, and through them you will affect great changes in the surrounding nature. This is changeable, this is required, and I hope it will happen. How do you define this change in relations between people, between the situation that we experienced so far and this new order? What are the characteristics of the old state versus the new state? Rav, nature is requiring of us to reach being an integral humanity that is interconnected, making of itself with understanding and awareness in a gradual manner, with self-criticism, an integral system where we are all interdependent, where we all want to ascribe ourselves, each and every one of us, to to the others, and that we are working like in a family or in a system, right? A single computer where each one, even though he's doing different things, however, he's doing it according to what is required of him in the general system. And this general human system is inside of a beautiful, good, integral connection with the entire nature, the still vegetative and animate. And all of these parts add to each other, each one to the others, so that the world is reaching a state where it is calm, where everyone is working according to the program, the software of love, that is a beautiful integration with each other. A software of love, a software of love. A good and beautiful connection between all human beings, wherever they are. Is this the thing that is distinguishing in terms of our perception between the old world and the new world order? Perhaps, I think so. We don't need more than the connection of the correction of the connections between people, but on all levels. The person with himself, the person with his relatives, with the people of his city, of his country, the whole world. A person's attitude towards the still, vegetative and animate. A person is the center of creation. Man is the center of creation. And he has to change his attitude from bad to good, from egoistic to altruistic, towards each and everything outside of him. And this will be the essence of the change between the old world and the new world. But, yes. Now, question, before we advance and elaborate it, I want to make sure the way you perceive things, the way you see things, we will reach this new world order, or maybe we can just go back to the way it was before. Right. No, first of all, there is never going back. It's not according to nature or the laws of nature. It's not according to the plan, the software. Rather, we are advancing according to a plan, nature's plan. The question, however, is the following. In this plan of nature, are we going forward with good steps, in a good way or in a bad way? Just like a child, you have a child who doesn't want to study, doesn't want to behave nicely, so you put pressure on him, you limit him, do all kinds of things until somehow he changes. Whereas if he's a wise child, he understands it's not good for me to behave this way like him. I will learn from him. And I will be a good child. I will get candy and prizes, and nevertheless, I will still study something, and I'll have a good future as a result. This good future, earlier you characterized it in a very nice way by saying a software of love, an integral connection between people with expanding circles, his relatives, people of his city, his country, and the whole world, and even the whole of nature, the still vegetative, animate, and speak. This change in the direction of an integral connection, a connection of love from man to everything around him. Is this something that is compulsory, or is that some sort of a high moral value, an ideal? What is it about? No, these are not just beautiful words. This is what nature is requiring of us as an inseparable part of the functioning of the entire system of nature. Without us reaching this integral form of general love, we will suffer each time more and more from nature on all levels. Now, this transformation in the direction of an integral connection, a connection of love between man and everything around him, is this something that will happen in stages? And if so, which stages? Rav, look, we've been coming closer to it over thousands of years. Humanity, nevertheless, is being fried on this skillet. Good, bad, bad, good. It is checking, it is suffering all of these situations, collecting all of these impressions, and with these impressions, nevertheless, we're getting wiser. From that, we have philosophy and science and educational system, each and everything. Nevertheless, we're not savages doing everything only through the force of the fist. But now, a much more intricate phase is required of us. We're required to connect with a mutual connection, mutual understanding that we are in a state of mutual influence on each other. Well, let's put it this way. Until now, me, you, and thousands of other people used to live, each one in his family, and we would know how to get along, each one with his family, instinctively, because I know that I have a wife, and she's taking care of the home, well, cooking and laundry and all those things. And I have to take care mostly for the income, making a living. And together with the wife, we take care of the children. How do we organize the house, the home? This is the family in essence. And this thing has come to us from nature. This is how we are built. Thousands of years ago, as well as nowadays, nevertheless, the order of interconnection, it's pretty much the same kind of interconnection. We understand it. We're also born into it. We look at our parents, and this is how we do it as well. But now, we have to enter a new state. This new state, well, it turns out that it's not that I'm breaking the boundaries of the family. And I'm saying that we don't need families. Families don't have to be families the way they the Russians wanted to do it once when they wanted to build their communism. No. I'm saying the following. I have to, without breaking the family, my attitude towards the wife, my children, my parents, etc., I need to develop a special attitude of love towards all the people in the world, the whole of humanity. And of course, it's not going to be the same love as to the wife and the children or my parents, because there it is instinctive love that comes to me from nature to care for them, because I feel that they belong to me. This is in my ego. The ego supports it. Whereas in my attitude of love now to all of the other families and people who live in my city, in my country, and in general, all the people in the world, I don't have an instinctive feeling towards them. Of an attitude of love or participation or something. I don't have it. So what will I do? I have to educate myself that it has to happen. That when I begin to work in it, I start to see that it's not that I don't love them. I hate them. I reject them. I don't care about them. They cannot even exist. It would be all the better. So I need to educate myself to a state where I understand how essential they are, how much I belong to them and they belong to me, how much we are all in a single system and we cannot be one without the other, egoistically. When I begin to learn these things, that it's impossible without them. It is impossible without them. This really is the situation that I must have. Why is it impossible without them? Why is it impossible without them? Perhaps nature is requiring it from us according to the upper plan of nature. That we will be connected to one another, one man in one heart, as I am with my parents, as I am with my wife and my children, as I am with myself even, that I would care for others truly on the same level of care, of closeness, of attention. Why? Why? And where do you see any indications for this in the state that the world is in right now? Because, Rav, no, you don't see it in the world around you, because you are corrupting the world through your attitude to the world. This is why what you see is consequences of your hatred towards all the elements in the world. This is what you're seeing. When a wolf is eating the sheep, and it says in the prophets that it's not going to be that way. Why will it not be that way? Because you will reach love towards the world, and the wolf also will not be eating the sheep. A wolf shall live with the sheep. This is what you mean, right? Yes. Well, let's put the wolves and the sheep on the side, because I have a greater problem with myself and the people around me. Well, it's the same thing. Yeah, but let's focus on that. I asked you in the beginning of the discussion whether you think that we are on the verge of a new world order. You said, undoubtedly, yes. And I asked you, how will it be new? You said, there will be a new software of connection between man and everything around him, an integral software, an integral, which is a relation of love. You also told me before that you said that nature has been promoting humankind towards it for thousands of years. So I'm asking, if I look at the world around me, what do you see indications that people are coming closer to an integral connection, a connection of love? I don't see such signs. But nevertheless, they have come closer. Will come closer in the future? Rab, no, over this time they have come closer. They've come closer to each other in a bad way, but they have come closer. You see, this virus, the coronavirus, is acting on everyone simultaneously. People are flying everywhere to visit each other, have relations. Here they build, here they receive something, here they saw, here they eat, etc. Meaning we're all interconnected. Oh, completely. This is called that we have advanced towards an egoistic integral system. Now, we will have to arrange it in a new way. What characteristics are there in an egoistic integral system, and what will be the new form? Show me this opposition between these two states. We made the whole world into one global village. We've connected on the basis of this interest or that interest in all the countries of the world, right? This is something that did not exist 1,000 years ago. The world has become one small village. Right, this didn't exist even 100 years ago. Okay, so in that we've advanced. We created a web of connections between all human beings, wherever they are. But you said that it's an interest-based web. So where should the change be? Rav, now we're under the attack of the coronavirus, right? Yes. Rav, it's touching everyone. Absolutely, there's no country left clean. Rav, does anyone want to fight with anyone else? I don't think there's no time or thoughts about fighting. Maybe somebody wants to do it. Right now everybody's thinking about survival. Rav, where are the governments, the armies? Where are terrorists of all kinds? Where are all the different arguments and whatever? Everything has calmed down. This little virus, it is truly, I can't even find the words. It's like a dove of peace. A dove of peace. Rab, yes, you see what it's doing, right? I don't see it this way, Rab, but I see that this is how it is. We've all come down from hating each other and calculating all the time about each other. Truly so. Well, soon it will come back. All right, exactly. This is what I want to say. It seems like right now there's a period of peace, of quiet, but I'm sure that each and every country, they're going to calculate where are we in relation to the others. It's not a dove of peace. I don't see how we're going to sign peace agreements, peace treaties at the end of the corona time. Wait. But nevertheless, it will be different. It will be different. When you have such an attack, then also the army and all the different systems are also working for the benefit of a population. It's true. You know what? You took this issue of interrelations, international relations. Let's delve into it. What do you think will happen, will change soon? Not in 10 years from now, but immediately in international relations. What will change? We will have no greater concern than just preserving ourselves from this blow of the coronavirus, that it might come and spread even more, and it will appear in different variations. And we will all be afraid of it, because it will be coming out from every little place, everything, and with such forms, mutations, that we will have no idea how to stop it, until we will understand that only the beautiful, good connection between us, suddenly we will discover it's not simple, and it takes a few more steps forward, but I'm referring it to you already. We will know that the good connection between us neutralizes this virus. It neutralizes this virus. Let's hope that, well, I'm saying this kind of in general without great preparation, but this is how it's going to be. If I look at the international arena, nowadays we have the United States and China as the two great leading forces. We also have the European Union, but let's put it on the side. Rav, you can really put it aside. Okay, I want to focus my question on the international relations between the U.S. and China. Nowadays, well, let's put it this way. Until the corona time, it was clear that the United States is the superpower of the world. China is a growing power, but the U.S. is number one, without a doubt. In your opinion, following the time of the corona, is that going to change? Will China become take the place of the United States, or there's nothing to talk about? Rav, I'll tell you what I think. I think the following. 50% at least, in my eyes, it's going to be a lot more of the businesses will fall. Out of that, that in many countries there would be unemployed people, unemployed, yes, all of these factories that we have moved, we meaning the whole world, moved to China, or either they'll take it back, move it back, or rebuild them. And this is what I think will happen. Because of this, China will fall from its power, and all the other countries will get something to engage in, a way to hold, to keep the workers and do something, even though businesses such as, well, shops and all kinds of such businesses that have, that really produce nothing, those are going to fall. I get it. So in your eyes, China is not going to grow stronger. To the contrary, it's going to fall. Rav, I'm sure that is going to happen. What about the United States? What about the U.S.? The U.S. over this time has been pulling to itself many people who do software and all kinds of technology instrumentation. I think the U.S. in the end will gain. And it will rise. Europe relatively will be in the middle. Russia will fall, diminish to supplying oil, as it used to be, and also supplying food. It has great territories. In the end, that's it. This is what I think. It doesn't appear to me that it will play out in a different way. But what I want to say is that the essence of the change is that people will feel that without a good connection between them in order to remove these viruses, they cannot exist. How will this be manifested in the international relations? Will it have a practical manifestation? Perhaps. I hope that humanity will realize out of this integral blow that is reaching the whole world, when the whole world is becoming this one system, that there is no choice, and we have to determine in the whole world a single law and not make muscles, flex our muscles towards each other. It seems to me that we're coming closer to this. Well, there are a few more stages we have to go through, and it's not simple. And also, we don't yet see the end of this present coronavirus. I don't see it's happening, it's ending soon, even though all of the reporters are writing whatever they want, but that doesn't play this way in nature. We don't see any such thing yet. And even if they do find some antivirus, I'm talking about in a computer, it won't pacify it, because the source of the virus itself, we're not detecting it. You're saying, oh, it's some kind of a special germ, a special compound of such and such biological particles, but that's not enough. This is not the root cause for the fact that it is appearing. The root cause why it is appearing is a higher cause. It is a spiritual cause, and we're still far away from detecting, pointing at it, and correcting it. Where do you see Iran? We talked about superpowers. Let's talk about Iran for a minute. Will Iran succeed in developing nuclear weapons? Rav, I don't know if they'll succeed or not, and I also don't think that it is such a problem. I think that the problem is in that the nations of the world will feel that in such advancement there's no room for the development of such weapons. Do you believe that this is possible, that nations will feel that there's no room for the development of weapons? Rav, I see that if such consequences appear, such as viruses, then it no longer matters how many nuclear bombs you have. All in all, this is just children's game. Because this virus, within 24 hours, can reach the whole planet and put everyone down. You depicted for me, you portrayed for me a beautiful place to which you see humanity advancing, going ahead. How did you say it in the beginning? Countries will feel that it's enough to flex our muscles towards each other. Rav, yes, I see this already. Already now, it's not the way it was before. During the influence of this coronavirus, during such a time, I see that everyone just want to pacify it. The next step, one step forward from our current situation, what do you think is going to be? How will the new world order appear? One step forward from the place where we are now. Well, for them to understand, to feel that this blow is coming out of our imbalance with nature. That it is a blow that, if I can say it this way, it's a spiritual blow, not just a biological blow. That only if we will reach balance between us, then we will be able to be rid of such viruses. And otherwise, nature has plenty more such means. So the way you see things, the full remedy and the full defense, protection from this coronavirus or other viruses that might appear, God forbid, depends on the nature of the connection between countries and people in general. Rav, yes, and we will see it. That's one thing. And second, I very much hope that it will happen soon. As much as we will fight with this coronavirus, it will become more and more clear to us that the remedy here has to be on a higher level. Our time, unfortunately, is up. Rav, I would like us to conclude with a clear, sharp definition. A new world order in your eyes is what? route. It is corrected relations between people until we will all feel ourselves as belonging to, you know, being in one room, in one family, during this time of the coronavirus. While we are shunning ourselves in, we have shut ourselves in all around the planet. Great. Now let's feel that it is this way and we have no choice. We have to only patiently strengthen each other. Amen. Thank you very much, Rav Lightman. Thank you, the viewers as well, for being with us. New Life. We'll learn how to live better. All the best.